Hey, and welcome to the third edition of Hot Air. My name is Greg Esser. This week, I'm joined alongside of our weekly windbag, my special guest, David Berg. You want to say a quick hello for everyone here, Dave?
Hey there.
Today, we'll be talking about a variety of themes. We'll be talking about Dave's transition as he's come from the club background, and this year's his first year playing in the AUDL. We'll talk about kind of some of the other players on the team, something I've really been meaning to talk about so far in the podcast, and I really haven't gone through kind of a more extensive, exhaustive roster and who we're excited to see on the field this year. We'll talk about last week's exciting game with Philadelphia, where the Breeze won in overtime, and we'll look ahead to May 16th, where the Breeze will take on the New York Empire here in Washington. It's a Saturday. It's at 6 o'clock. Before we begin, a couple items I want to get out of the way. Thanks to Broke Royals, the band that plays our intro for us every week here on Hot Air. And I'd also like to alert you, Dave, wind puns play heavily on the podcast. So if you get any good moments where you can slip in the word blow or gust, you know, we're all ears here, and you know, Dutch even worked in the word element last week. So all these things play, and we might even keep a running score, and people can follow on Twitter or in the comfort of their own home. Any wise words before we jump into things?
No, let's get going.
All right, no wisecracks off the bat. I thought we'd get something. Okay, great. So the first line of questioning then is about this transition, right? You're a club player. You're a college player. You played for George Mason. You played youth programs coming up in the Pittsburgh area. But this is the first time you've had referees. This is the first time you've gone to a big field. You are what, 4 games in? The Breeze are 2-2 at this point. What are some of your opening thoughts about all the transitions to the AUDL?
I guess honestly, you said the first two things that I feel like probably every player coming into the league is going to say, and that is, you know, the big field. That's quite an adjustment to make, both on offense and defense. And
what are you playing primarily at this point in the season? Do you consider yourself an O-line, a D-line player?
Yeah, I played most of my points on the O-line.
Okay.
So yeah, the big field, and then referees as well. You know, much different than observers and
different, but different how? How do you feel about these referees?
I like it. Calls are bad. Let's be honest. But it's not the bad calls that kind of bother me about it. It's just the fact that they control the pace of the game, and no matter whether you agree or disagree with the call, you never walk off the field thinking any one player is a jerk. Really, like, you, everything's under control, and you've got everything mediated by a third party there, so you kind of deal with whatever happens.
So does that make it easier then? I mean, we talk about this intangible spirit thing that is so central to the game of Ultimate. How does that make you think about spirit differently if you have a third party out there with you?
If anything, I think it upholds spirit or sportsmanship, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I rarely do you see a guy, you know, get in a referee's face in this sport or anything like that. It's just someone to control the pace of the game and not let your emotions, in a 1-point game or whatever, start to take over in a situation. It just lets them control that. You've got one less thing to worry about, and you can focus entirely on the game. And like I said, you walk away feeling good about your opponent no matter what happens.
Yeah, so I like talking to someone that's new to the league about those kind of transitions, but I think I have covered them here before on the podcast. I think these are a little bit of a broken record. You know, we hear them at every turn about the AUDL. Oh, it's a bigger field, there's referees. But let's talk a little bit more about your play exclusively. You know, you had just said you're playing a lot of O-line, and so is that how you have always seen yourself? Are you an O guy? Is that a change in roles for you? You're handling a lot, I've noticed. You know, is that something you're comfortable doing, or are these, you know, the way that you see yourself as an ultimate player?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, coming up through going back to high school and then through the college days, I was playing as a handler on the O-line. Definitely enjoy it. Towards the end of college a little bit, I started to really play a lot more defense, and I started to focus on that and thought maybe that was the direction I was going to go with this. But I've been playing on the O-line, and I definitely, I feel like I fit in there, hope so. And it's been a good, I guess, role for me so far.
Yeah, and so I'll say, let's get even more nuanced, right? So we can talk about these broad brushstrokes. You know, I'm an O-line, I player, I am a handler. But even within that, I think you are playing somewhat of a role. You are playing the role of the guy that's responsible for putting some of the 30, 40-yard hucks. Certainly in the first two games of the season against Ottawa and Toronto, you probably had the most attempts of anything over 25 yards. Do you consider that your game, or is that something that you're growing into? What are your thoughts on your role within that position, if we can?
Yeah, I think that was my game. Definitely in college, being one of the top guys on the line with your team. Being the guy that has to put the disc everywhere was definitely my role. But as I transition here in the Breeze, within our system, one thing I'm doing a lot more of that I really had never done was getting downfield a lot more.
Getting downfield, your body getting downfield.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Our system forces us to kind of leave our starting positions at times and assume other roles. So just kind of as we go with whatever the flow of our system is going with, I'm finding myself downfield a lot more. I think I've scored, you know, every time I score a goal, I kind of chuckle to myself because I, like, never scored goals before. it's kind of interesting in that I'm in that position a lot more. And I think as I continue to transition and be surrounded by a number of other better players, both on my team and playing against them, you realize those long shots that you like to take aren't there as readily, or when you think they're there, you have to kind of double check to really make sure, because guys come flying out of nowhere in this league.
Sure, they make up ground quick, as we certainly witnessed in that very first game against the Rush. You throw to a wide open guy, and whew, they're right on top of you. Okay, so that's interesting things to hear. So do you think that the way that you are, you said, you know, the system, right, is changing, you know, I'm getting goals for the first time, not just an assist guy. Do you think that is a result of the AUDL? Do you think that is a result of you maturing as a player? Do you think that's a result of working with Dutchie? All of the above, one more than the other?
I've got to say all the above. You know, definitely Dutchie's helped me realize a lot, and I mean, really helped me learn how to play with other players and fully.
Did not play well with others, now starting to play with others. You heard it here first.
No, that's probably a bad way to word it, but learn how to just, I guess, let the game come to you would be a better way to put that, and not try to force everything and be the guy who's got to do everything all the time. And just, if you know, you catch the pull and then jog up the sideline while your team scores, like, that's awesome too.
So we had Dutchie on the podcast last week, so I don't think he'll get a rebuttal this year, so I can ask, you know, delving questions about him that he won't get to refute in the future on Hot Air. So I'll ask you this, you know, how is it working under Dutchie? This is one of the most decorated coaches, you know, in the country at this point, having won some USAU championships and now coach second year in the league. What's his, you know, coaching style like, his attitude in the huddles, you know, is it working for you, and, you know, characterize it.
It's awesome. I think one of the first things upon thinking about trying out for this team is you see Dutchie's the coach and you just think, like, oh my gosh, this would be awesome to get this experience just to play in this situation, you know. And I guess style-wise, it works out great. He's not a loud, in-your-face kind of guy, but he definitely amps up the intensity when you need to, and definitely someone who you want to go out on the field and just work your butt off for.
Yeah, a guy you want to perform for. Cool. Okay, well, that's really good to hear. So I think that's a lot of the kind of lines I wanted to talk about with adjusting to new coaches, new league, new field. I want to talk a little bit more about something that I've hinted at a couple times, but some of the other guys on this roster that, you know, you're a new guy on this roster. I latched onto you right away after I was watching your play on the field. Super exciting play. Who are the guys that you are excited to play with this year? Were there guys you were going into the season excited that were returners? Are there new guys like yourself that are on the field that you've either played with before? Let's hype some players. Let's talk about some of your teammates.
I'm definitely excited about everyone putting me on the spot with names here.
Oh, sure. We're gonna get to the names.
I'm gonna feel bad if I forget anyone, leave anyone out. But
so list me 27 players.
Yeah, 27 players. You know, obviously I played in college with Anthony, and we built a really strong relationship.
This is Anthony McLean.
Anthony McLean, yeah. Built a really strong relationship there that was obviously real excited to play at the next level with. And then guys I've played against, I guess the Georgetown guys, Nico Kerrigan, even Ben Fang, like, those were always some really close games we had with them, and just to be able to get on the field with them, I felt like really starting to develop some rapport with those guys. And
do you remember back to times where you were, you know, head to head on a universe point against those guys, and now you're coming around to them?
Oh yeah, definitely. I feel like they're probably coming around to me a little more than the other way, but, if that's the case at all. But yeah, definitely. It's good to be on their side now.
Cool. So talk to me more about then maybe players that, so you maybe coming into the season, you knew some of those other names were out there. You and Anthony, you know, came out for the Breeze together, so excited to be playing with him again. How about guys in these first four games, you know, the first, I don't know, month and a half of practice now that you've latched onto as like, here's a guy that's, I understand his playing style and you're clicking with at this point?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really helping me out is Jarnell's veteran experience. Obviously, we're doing a lot of handling together on the O-line. I've always wanted the opportunity to play with Jarnell. I basically started our George Mason team and before I got there. So playing with him is exciting, and he's the guy who, whether I do something bad or something that I think is good, is always in my ear, always providing that, you know, feedback walking off the field, and, you know, I think I did something well, scored a goal, and then I get 2 minutes of why what I did was wrong. But
yeah, you and Jarnell are like the peanut butter and jelly, I'll say, of the O-line thus far. You guys are often on the field together. You guys are getting, actually, I saw a stat the other week where I think you're one of the point leaders of the team, and I think Jarnell is also in the top 5 or 6 in minutes played. Maybe peanut butter and jelly is bad. Maybe it should be like the high front, the high pressure front and the low pressure front. There it is, of the Breeze. So that's cool. You're getting reps with him. How about some receivers? Any downfield receivers that you're already looking to and saying, here's my guy?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in the Philly game, Kerrigan came down with everything. I put up for him. Duke's obviously been huge for us, running down some discs. Chip's getting some time there. Gosh, trying to think of everyone we're playing with. But, I mean, the great thing about our team and the way it is it's not superstar-driven, and we rely on, you know, contributions from everybody. And, you know, you just got to make a play here and there. You don't have to be the guy making plays every time you're on the field. And so it's really cool to get everyone involved in our team.
Yeah, it's certainly been true of the way the scoreboard has been situated so far this year. A lot of guys, you know, getting the counting numbers. You know, the assists, the goals, the defenses. It's interesting to see. So you mentioned something that I wanted to talk about, which is perfect, about the Philly game last week, and we had said it was an exciting one. It went to overtime. What, 59 points were scored? Is that right?
I think it was 59.
I think it was 59 points, which is, you know, a Breeze win 30-29, which I think also averages more than a point a minute, which is the most that the Breeze have seen on the scoreboard this season. Talk to me about the feel of that game. You know, it's got to be a high to get through it, but, you know, lots of scoring is good for an offense guy. You know, characterize the game for me.
Perfect combination of unbelievably frustrating and, like, just felt really, really good when we came away with that win. It was just, you know, you felt like you were never really comfortable in that game, but you also felt like you were always, you know, in control, like in the driver's seat of the game. And then all of a sudden you look up at the scoreboard and we're, you know, down by 2 with 2 minutes to go, and you're just thinking, oh my gosh, this one's gonna get away from us. But I think that just says a lot about our team, that we just huddled up, said forget about everything, we just have, you know, 2 good minutes of ultimate to play here, and, you know, went on that 3-point run to close it out
and made it work. Interesting. So that said, hey, it was a perfect combination of frustrating and joyous, or whatever you said a moment ago. But those frustrations, you know, are those things that you think are going to better prepare you for Philadelphia in the future? And if you can, speak to some of those frustrations. What's going to get better about this Breeze team that's going to, you know, make you make a bold statement like you're going to win your next Philly game? You know, what are you going to fine tune before next time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just the next Philly game. I think it's, you know, one thing that you've been talking about a lot and that, you know, everyone knows is how young our team is, how we really haven't played together. I mean, we just finished up our 4th game together, period. And so, I mean, I feel like every game has gotten better for us and every game is going to continue to get better for us. So, you know, yeah, the next Philly game, hopefully we do click more and feel more comfortable on the field and continue with that.
So, but why was the Philly game frustrating? And if you can characterize what was frustrating about it, what can you build off of as a team?
I guess frustrating is just, you know, you feel like we have the potential to make, you know, any player we want at any time, really. We feel like we're a really good team, and just sometimes we just have these mistakes that, you know, almost inexplicable, and that, you know, we individually probably wouldn't make at any given point, but as a team trying to find its chemistry with each other, trying to perfect a system, things just kind of, whether it's a miscommunication or just a bad throwaway, just get away from us. And I think it's just aspects of a growing team and those growing pains that we're continuing to work through, and I think greatly improving on every game we play.
So what I'm hearing is not so much, I mean, so correct me if I'm wrong, it's not, you're learning a system, but the system is learned. What's frustrating is there are still communication errors, or you're learning your teammates' tendencies, and those things are going to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the system that our coaches have put in place for us is perfect, and I think we just need to, it's on us as players now to go out and perfect it and really finish it, I guess finish making the plays that are there for us.
Okay, so let me ask you then this next question, which is to say, so obviously playing with these people, just getting reps on the field in games, getting reps at practice is going to, you know, fine or hone the craft and hone, you know, your ability to play with other folks. But what really, you know, what sort of preparation is going into, let's be really tactile, right? What preparation is going into New York this next week? 6 p.m. this Saturday, Empire come to town, free plug there for all the breeze heads in D.C. You know, what's your preparation look like this week? Are you looking at video? Are you hitting the track? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I know all the guys on the team are out working out, hitting the track, doing that. We have practice once a week. We also get our game film from the previous week sent out to us with the, you know, video analysis from the coaches, and then hopefully whatever footage we can acquire of the team we're playing, and then we break that down and try to find some tendencies and things that we're going to really focus on during the game.
Yes, I'm really interested in this, and I don't want to give away the special sauce, but let's talk about you looking at footage of you playing Ultimate, and what, give me an example of something that was shown to you in video this year that you said, you know, here's the adjustment that I can make.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the bigger things for me is getting back on defense after a turn. There, you can definitely tell watching the video, there's times when I just put my head down immediately, find my man, and hustle there and, you know, play good
defense. And it makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's times where you look at the video and I'm staring at the disc, not on my guy. I don't know. I really don't have an explanation for it. You know, it's just something to focus on. And
sure, I mean, focus on is right, exactly the right word, because it's focused to some degree.
Yeah, absolutely is, and definitely, especially as an offensive player, not letting the fact that you turn the disc over affect your play on the other side of the disc.
Nice. Okay, so that's something really tangible. I can that certainly can be a problem with my game too from time to time. Interesting, and actually, I mentioned this on the podcast last week. It was interesting development that Montreal has a mental coach, which is an interesting dimension to this game. It's I think it's important, and it's interesting to see the whole game as a whole change in that respect. So before we sign off here, and I'm glad we got you in front of the mic today. I do want to ask you one question about kind of the whole of the Eastern Division, right? So you're 2-2. That's you know, I think fourth overall in the East right now, which is an out. You know, I mean, it's early in the season to start talking playoffs, but that's what we're all aiming for. Mm-hmm. And four is within striking distance of the playoffs. Who are you most afraid of in the East? And you know, who are you? I mean, so you played the three teams that are all ahead of you. You have not played New York yet. Which matchup are you looking most forward to? And you know, who do you consider the team to beat?
I mean, I guess I'm looking forward most to New York, because that's next, and that's really
spoken like a true level-headed athlete there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fact is it's really all you can control. And I mean, one of the things that, you know, you hear the league talking about and everyone talking about this year is how close most of the games have been, and even the surprises that have happened, and there's a number of things, like, it's really any way the wind blows for this finally got one. It can go any way. I mean, you've got a few teams sitting at 2-2, no one's undefeated, so I mean, yeah, it's a big game for us, but I still, no matter what happens, our goal's still going to be the playoffs.
Nice. Okay. Well, great. Well, David Berg, once again, thanks for joining us here today. I want to thank our sponsors for this year's DC Breeze. That's Papa John's, that's Oak Creek Apparel, Big Board, and Atlas Brewworks. Also, the Discraft, the official disc of the AUDL. And I want to thank, once again, Broke Royals for providing the intro music and providing some tunes at our games. Every week we have a different band come out before the game, so show up early, grab yourself a beer from Atlas, enjoy some tunes, and then, of course, take in some warm D.C. weather this spring and a D.C. Breeze game. Any parting words you got for us, Dave?
No, just come out there Saturday, support us. Big game.
All right, thanks a lot for listening to Hot Air.